Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. This week we welcome Justine Edward to chat about her book, Shine. Welcome, Justine.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks for having me on your show today.
Oh, I'm really happy to have you. I mean, your book is so wonderful and for such a good cause. I love it.
Thank you.
Tell the audience a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I live in Australia, right at the top in a place called Far North Queensland. Some of your viewers might have heard of Cairns and the Great Barrier Reef, the Daintree Rainforest. That's kind of where I am. It's very tropical and we enjoy year-round sunshine, which is very nice. I teach elementary school here and I also have three children of my own and they range in age from 4 years to 12 years old.
Wow. You're a busy lady.
Yes.
How did you start writing?
Well, really, I guess I've always been interested in children's books. Being a teacher and having children of my own, children's books are something that I do read a lot of. I guess I had an idea to write a book probably about a decade ago, and it took me that long to actually to publish a book, but the inspiration for this particular book came from my illustrator, Carl Gabriel. He's a very close family friend and he was diagnosed with autism when he was 3.5 and he was the inspiration behind Shine.
Hmm. That's really interesting. So it was it his idea to do Shine or was it like a mutual or he just hearing a story got you going on it?
Really, it was just being able to share his journey and his family's journey with autism. At a particular point in time, Carl was having quite a few issues at school, and I just wanted him to know how incredibly special I thought that he was, and I wanted to be able to produce something that he would always be able to have, he would always be able to look back on, he would always be able to refer to and read to know basically how I felt about him. So really when I started writing Shine, it was almost a personal message to Carl. But when I finished the manuscript, I kind of realised that what I'd written was something that was applicable to a lot of people, not just children but adults as well. And I sent it off to his mother and I asked her to read the manuscript and I explained that Carl had inspired it and that I really would have if he would be able to illustrate it. So then he was able to do the pictures or draw the pictures to complement the verses, and his mother helped him with that. He drew things which were familiar to him. And then, yeah, she sent them back to me, and then we were able to have the book published.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a beautiful story. Are you a big reader? Do you like to, is there any book that kind of ignites your imagination that you remember either growing up or currently?
Definitely The Folk of the Faraway Tree when I was a child was a book that ignited my imagination. I do like to read. I read quite broadly. I guess recently I've read David Mitchell's The Cloud Atlas. So I found that a really interesting book, switching between you know, times and different kind of voices. That was a really interesting book to read. But yeah, I do enjoy reading. It takes you away to different places and just helps you to appreciate, I think, different views of the world.
Yeah, I think people who don't read don't understand that it's the great escape. That it takes you to being a person or going to a place that you'll never, ever really go to in your life, but it lets your imagination soar, and I think it's so important.
Oh, exactly, and it opens up a world of possibilities. You know, things that you may not have been able to imagine, someone else can. And so, like you were saying, you're taken on that journey with them, and it's a bit like traveling, really, in real life.
Mm-hmm.
It just helps you to appreciate a different point of view.
Exactly, exactly. That's why people love to travel, it's to go to a different culture. And when you read, you're going to a different world. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly, exactly, definitely.
Do you enjoy history, and does that have any part in when you do your writing?
I find history very interesting, and I think that definitely in deconstructing the past, it helps us to understand the future. My history definitely has a huge part in shaping my stories, but I guess more broadly speaking, I don't think history is my greatest influence. I'm more influenced, I guess, by people in my life and my circle of friends and my family, my children, the children who I teach, friends of the family, those sorts of things. I guess because I'm writing for children as well, there's a real element of inspiration that comes from the people that I'm associated with.
Has your class read your book, or have any members of the class read your book, and what kind of reaction have you gotten from the kids that you teach?
Yeah, look, the kids are, it's hard to explain the reaction kids tend to be. They love the pictures, so they really relate to, the first thing that they relate to is the pictures, because they see them as something that they could do as well. So they really relate to the way that the pictures are drawn. And then that's a really beautiful way to start a conversation about Carl and about the fact that he has been diagnosed with autism and about the things that he is able to do. And also to, you know, have a discussion about challenges and how we are all different, but we do all have a light within us that shines.
Yeah, that is so true, though. I mean, everybody is important, and everybody has something that they spark. You're the hero of your own story. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about reading and life, is that you're the hero of your own story.
Exactly, and, you know, I took my kids to see the Lego movie yesterday, and I thought it was fantastic, because that's basically the message of Shine is the exact message of that movie, which is that, you know, we are all special. We are all the hero of our own story, but I think children really that needs to be reinforced to children. A lot of children don't hear that message. And so that's the other thing about reading a book to children, that by reading Shine, that message can be reinforced to children over and over and over again. And then it becomes a part of their internal playlist. You know, it becomes something that they then tell themselves, which I think is really important.
It is, because I think adults need that too. I mean, really, we forget
they
it
do.
Too. I mean, a lot of us, because of life and because of what we get thrown at us all the time, we forget, you know, we're as important to the plot as other people around you. We're the hero of our story, and we forget that ourselves as adults.
Definitely. And I think when we forget that, we lose some of our power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by understanding that again, we're able to reclaim, you know, certain things in our life, certain things that we want to do. And so it is, yeah, it is really important.
I agree. Would you like to give the audience, not reading it, but explain a little bit further what your book is about and what you'd like the readers to take away from it?
Okay, so as mentioned, Shine was inspired and illustrated by family friend Carl Gabriel. Carl is 8 years old now, but he was 3.5 when he was diagnosed with autism. And the book is a series of verses, simple verses. They're quite lyrical, which encourage children to see that they're unique and that they've got a special light within them. And if they believe in that light and let it guide them, then really anything is possible. So, for instance, one of the verses from the book goes like this. There is a light within you, amazing things you will do. If you trust the light from within and let it always guide you. So that kind of idea, you know, that there is a light within you. There's amazing things. You have an incredible potential. If you trust what's inside, then, you know, you're going to be able to achieve those amazing things. Trust in yourself.
That's true. That's very true. When you are working on your books and stuff, how do you, and this is something I ask all authors because I actually have a real hard time with it myself, how do you find time? I mean, do you make deals with your family? I mean, do you tell the kids you'll get them ice cream if you leave me alone for an hour? I mean, how do you do it?
Yeah, look, I think at the moment for me, negotiating with a four-year-old can be kind of tricky. She doesn't really, for her, you know, if I say, can you, you know, I'll get you an ice cream, like that scenario, then I get about 7 minutes, I think, of time. So, yeah, look, I think like lots of people, my writing time is very limited. But I guess the thing is I know that it's not going to be that way forever. I think sometimes in life you just have to learn to be patient. And I still write down, whenever I get an idea, I still write it into my mind. I've got notebooks all over the house, and I also use my phone quite a lot, the notes section on my phone, so that I can just jot down ideas as they come to me, and then I can revisit them, you know, later down the track.
Yeah, I know. I remember hearing about Agatha Christie. They said that, you know, how did she get her plots? How did she get the fantastic dialogue? And they said, well, she never did anything. You never would know that she was taking information. That she may have taken a little notebook and jotted a couple things down, but you would never have seen her do it. She was that quiet and sly. She was a complete observer. And I think one of the things a writer has to be is an observer.
Definitely, definitely. And I also think a writer has to be somebody who goes out and lives their lives. I don't actually think a writer can be somebody who stays and sits behind their computer or at their notebook all the time. I mean, I guess perhaps for some writers that's how inspiration comes, but my inspiration comes from when I'm living my life and I'm interacting with other people and, you know, as you mentioned, observing other people. And, you know, you might think, oh, wow, yeah, you know, that's a great situation, or that's a great scenario, or wow, that, you know, that person make a great character.
You know what's really funny is that I'm working on a couple of book ideas, and one of the book is young adult, and I got some great dialogue just sitting in the bathroom listening to some teenagers in other stalls. I mean, it's amazing how they talk. It's almost a different language. I don't even understand half the things. I have to try to figure out what they're saying to each other.
Oh, look, exactly. I started a Twitter account probably about 12 months ago now, and I'd never had one before. And that for me was totally learning, you know, it was learning a brand new language.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a different world. And it's fun to just look at the things that come up on your, you don't even have to, you know, go back and forth. Just watch the stuff that pops up on your feed. You're just like amazed at the things that people will just burst out saying on both Facebook and Twitter, and you're like, I can't believe they're talking about this in public.
Oh, look, exactly. And I'm really fortunate. I've got some great people who I follow on both Twitter and Facebook, and just great quotes and great sayings that I find really inspiring. So, you know, that I kind of find often if I jump onto there and I, you know, I'll read a quote that they've posted, it'll be just, you know, really inspiring for me personally or for the day or for what I'm going through. And I'll often repost those sorts of things because I just think, you know, other people might be inspired as well.
Yeah, exactly. I love some of the quotes that I like. Oprah's quotes, and there was a famous woman quote one that there's some great quotes that pop up from that. There's some things that are just like, wow. That, and it hits you for your day because something is happening in your own life and you read it and you're like, it's amazing how things will just come that will help you from weird sources.
Exactly. And that's it. I listen. There's one guy called Rock Christopher. If anyone wants to follow him, it's at Rock Christopher. And I just find his quotes are superb. You know, they're always encouraging. They're always inspiring. It's just, you know, and that's the thing I love about Twitter too. It's just short. You can read it really quickly and you can get through a lot very quickly. But, you know, it really lifts me up. It really inspires me for the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's also good, too, for an author. You know, to put out your information. Hey guys, I'm going to do this. Come see me. Or it's a multi-layer tool. It's also fun to watch.
Oh, exactly. Oh, exactly. And I actually found it was a really great tool for being able to get some feedback about my book when I first published it.
Mm-hmm.
Just being able to say to people, hey, you know, would you be interested in reading it and giving me some feedback? So, it's a great tool. It's really great to connect with people, and I think that's what social media allows authors to do. It allows us to connect without borders, you know, across, you know, country borders and cultural borders, and it's just, yeah, it really unites people.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a good side and there's a bad side, just like everything's black and white. But, well, you know what the bad side is, the nasty people.
Sure, but I think it's always how you perceive it and how you see it and how you use it.
Yeah, exactly. And personally, I think all of it's positive. It's just like anything else. If you read something and you can see that both negative and positive, try to go for the positive side. That's all you can do.
Exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, I often find trying to appreciate where the other person's coming from as well. You know, if they've said something negative, I find that often rather than taking it personally, if you can actually appreciate where the other person came from, you can often, you can often be a little bit more understanding, a little bit more empathetic.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think of the different styles in publishing? Did you publish traditional or did you self-publish? How did you go about yours?
I self-published. And look, I think that they all have a place. I think one thing I didn't realize before I started is that traditional publishing is a lot about marketing. I used to think it was all about the manuscript and, you know, if you had a good enough book that I guess someone would realize that. And I think a lot of authors, when they start, think that that is the case. But it's only really one piece of the puzzle. You've got to be able to convince a traditional publisher that your book is going to sell. You have to convince them to bet on you. And having a great manuscript, unfortunately, just isn't enough these days. It does worry me that publishers are now creating books purely for the purpose of selling them.
Sales.
For instance, Zach Power series. You know, they're authored by a team of writers under the corporate pseudonym H.I. Larry. So I think a lot of people wouldn't know that, and kids definitely don't know that they're being kind of marketed to in that way.
I agree.
Yeah, look, I think one thing that self-publishing definitely does is it allows stories that are really great stories that haven't been marketed that well to see the light of day. And I think that's incredibly important. And one thing I would really encourage your readers to do is to check out independent authors through sites such as, for instance, Story Cartel. So that's just www.storycartel.com. And the other one that's really great is the Indie Book Galley. So if they just Google Indie Galley or Indie Book Galley, because that's a place where readers can go and they can actually read e-copies of the books for free. So that's a great way to be introduced to independent authors and their stories without actually having to, you know, outlay any money, and normally all they're asking for is just an honest review in return.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting because I'm very attracted to independent authors, independent filmmakers, because to be honest, there are exceptions, but a lot of the traditionally published big hit books don't interest me very much. There are exceptions. I mean, I happen to love Harry Potter. I liked Da Vinci Code. But most of them, I'm saying, they're not marketed for me. They're like celebrities and reality people and stuff like that. You know? And that's not interesting to me. I'd rather read a good story.
That's it, and that's it. I think they tend to be bound by certain storylines or certain marketing objectives. You know, those are the things that they're looking for. Will this book sell more than is this a great story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's where, you know, but I guess it's like indie films too. Until you start watching them, until you take that step out of the mainstream and have a look, you don't really know the quality that's out there. And, of course, like anything, like even traditionally published books, there's going to be authors and stories that you warm to and you relate to, and there's going to be others that you don't. But there's a whole new world, I think, or, you know, a huge world of indie authors out there. And, yeah, I'd really encourage people to go out and just, you know, have a look. See who's out there. See the stories that are out there and go with what resonates with you.
That's one of the reasons I love my show is because I love interviewing first-time authors. Because people don't realize that people are just people, there's so much talent out there. There are so many people with talent, and nobody's hearing it because the people on a lot of the other shows, they don't want to. They have their little niche, and that's all they want to talk to. I talk to every kind of author because people need to hear from every type of author in every walk of life, because it's like a beautiful salad.
Exactly right. Like, I think you're exactly right. There are so many talented authors and talented people out there, and they just, because they don't have that big traditional publishing marketing machine behind them, kind of, you know, pushing them along and putting them out there, and people aren't hearing about them through the normal channels, it's fantastic that there are shows like yours that exist. So people do have an opportunity to say, hey, you know, I'm out here, you know, take a look.
Here
See if
I
you
am.
Enjoy what I'm, you know, what I'm doing. Exactly.
I know. I mean, one of the reasons I started my show was because I had such a hard time getting onto even a Blog Talk Radio show. I mean, I got onto a few of them, but I was like, why is this so hard? You know, I wasn't even trying for anything else. I was just trying to get on to Blog Talk Radio, and I got into one, and then one of the ones I got onto, she said, you know, you should do it. And I go, why? And she said, because we need more people like you. And
yes.
That's what inspired me to do it.
Definitely. And I think it's a great, like I said, it's such a great opportunity because you have a genuine interest in authors and in their books. And I think being an author yourself, you know, it just, you've got that understanding too, and that that level of insight as well into the writing process. So,
thank you.
You know, you bring that to the interviews as well, which is, it's fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. That touches me. Okay, this question I ask everyone too, but I love it. When you got your book, was it like a present or a Christmas present or something like, oh my God, how did you feel?
Well, it's definitely an incredibly surreal moment. I think I cried because for me, you know, it was such a... it was a long time in the making for me, this book. So to finally see it in print, and I mean, I think most authors would relate to the fact that you really put your heart and your soul into your book. Mm-hmm. So when you finally see it in print, it's such a, it's surreal. That's probably the best way to explain it. But I guess for me, look, really the biggest satisfaction in completing the book was just being able to give a copy to Carl, and just... For him and his family to see his illustrations in print and to be able to give it to other people and say, hey, you know, this is what Carl's done. Like, it was just amazing.
That would have made me cry too.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Just seeing his expression when he saw it, you know, that would have made me cry.
Yeah. Look, it was beautiful. Carl's quite... Carl's non-verbal, so he doesn't talk a lot. He'll say words that his mother has taught him, and he'll repeat those words, but he doesn't tend to say very much outside of that. But, yeah, it was just... But he loves books. He's always loved books, and he's loved to read. And, you know, that's another reason why I really wanted to do this book, because I knew it would be something, too, that he would... read and look at and refer to and recognises his pictures in print. And, you know, perhaps at the moment he doesn't quite, link the two in terms of, oh, these are my pictures and they're in a published book, but it's something that he's going to have for the rest of his life. And he's always going to be able to know, hey, you know, I did this. This is what I'm, you know, this is just one of the many things that I'm capable of doing.
It's an accomplishment. It's a little piece of...
Exactly.
Little piece of his accomplishment. I'm sure there'll be many, many more to come, but that's a big accomplishment for him.
Exactly, and I think it's, I mean, Temple Grandin, you know, she said it's so important to focus on what children with autism are able to do rather than always focusing on the things that they can't do. And I think that's so important. We all know that there are challenges, but if we look for the light in these children, we'll see it. It's there, you know, it's shining. We just have to give them an opportunity to reach their potential.
And shine the light on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Are you working on anything now?
Yeah, look, bits and pieces, as I always do. I've finished it. Kind of have lots of things going, lots of plates, you know. You remember the circus where you have the guy who spins the plate?
Yeah.
I feel like that all of the time.
I think everybody does that today.
Definitely. And I finished a couple of picture book manuscripts, and I've got an idea for another picture book as well as a young adult book. But at this stage, I'm not sure of an end date, you know, on any of those. But certainly, look, people can keep in contact with me through Facebook. So on Facebook, it's just facebook.com/JustineEdwardAuthor. I think a lot of people think that my surname has an S on the end. It's not Edwards. It's just Edwards, so Justine Edward Author. And as I said, I'm also on Twitter, and I've got a website, which is just www.justineedward.com, which is JustineEdward.com. So that's it's a great way for me to be able to interact with people and just keep them updated in terms of what I'm doing and what I'm working on.
Cool. That's great. Oh, and I don't want to forget, for the next month, if you go to Justine's site and you click on All About Autism, you get a free copy of her book. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. It's very exciting for me. I'd love to get the message of shine out there. One of the things I've had with my book is I've had just this incredible feedback from lots of different age groups across lots of different walks of life about how the book has actually affected them and impacted them. And so by providing an ebook for free to anybody who basically goes onto my site, JustineEdward.com, clicks on All About Autism. It's just a way for them to read the book and to be able to share it with, you know, other people who they think it might resonate with.
That's so amazing. That's really generous of you. Do you have any events coming up?
Yeah, look, I've got a couple of really exciting events. The first one is that I have an app of the book, which is currently being developed by a company called Authorly, and this is another one. I'm going to give them a little plug because this is another great resource for authors that a lot of people may not know about. So the site is just www.authorly.com. So it's AUTHORLY.com, and people can actually go there to sign up to use their do-it-yourself app builder, or they can sign up for their production services where their team will actually make and build the app for you. I've had my book turned into an app by them, by their production team, and it's going to be released on iTunes within the next month or so.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I'm going to check that out because I hadn't heard of that one. That's really cool.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And I've also had Shine turned into a song, which is really amazing. And I worked with an independent singer-songwriter from America called Simply Andrea, and she's turned it into a song. She's actually teamed up with Jenny McCarthy's Autism Foundation, which is called Generation Rescue. So people can go onto iTunes, they can search for the song. It's called Shine, and anybody who purchases that song, 100% of the proceeds of the sale of the song will be donated to Generation Rescue.
That's amazing. That is so great. Sadly, we have come to the end of the interview. I want to thank you so much. It's been really, really interesting. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I had a fantastic time, Sherry. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'd like to let my audience know about next week. We're going to have two shows on Chatting with Sherry. We're going to have author Drew Pagasinini. She's going to talk about her book, Iron Wind and Clockwork Heart, and they're going to be giveaways for those books. And on Thursday, we're going to have the dynamic duo best-selling authors Gary Williams and Vicki Nerley for their book, Evil in the Beginning. Thank you very much, Justine. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, Sherry. Have a great day.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.